We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. Thanks for your support.
Almighty God, Father of the whole human family, we thank you and ask your blessing as we gather for this uniquely American moment.
The Supreme Court has said that it's cruel and unusual punishment to give the death penalty to a rapist. And I don't think that an innocent child conceived in rape deserves the death penalty either.
We so often downplay this as if it's something unimportant to have word and sacrament in the church. As if receiving this gospel is sort of just something we do here. No, it is who we are.
Homeschool families love Issues Etc. We have issues.
This Old Testament figure, Joshua, he's a very clear foreshadowing of what we will find when the real Joshua, the real Yahweh is salvation. Jesus shows up. He is an Old Testament type, if you will. We'll be remembering him along with the church. Actually, the church waits till tomorrow to remember Joshua, but here on the last day of August, on this Friday afternoon, here on Issues Etc., we will remember Joshua, Moses' successor, his servant and his successor, also his military commander as well. Dr. Adolf Harstadt will join us a little bit later on Issues Etc. in Hour 2, and in the meantime, in Hour 1 of the program, as we usually do, we'll be going through your email to us and responding to as much as we can through the Issues Etc. comment line. We will pick Issues Etc. blog of the week, then our conversation with Dr. Adolf Harstadt, and then it's Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's four soundbites that we've put together for you to listen to and to vote for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can listen in advance at our website, issuesetc.org, right there on the homepage. Also ways to vote there. You can go to our Facebook fan page and vote there as well. Leave a comment. Remember to include your city and state, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. Or you can wait and give us a call when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week in the last half hour, 1-877-623-6943. And that phone number is good for the whole 2 hours of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, 1-877-623-6943. You can send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can also send us a tweet at @issuesetc.
Hey, good job. You did that whole lineup without me doing my job and giving the lineup your show sheets for today. That was very, very impressive. And my excuse is I'm just so excited about D-Day in 2 days.
You mean
Lord Feichtinger's wedding?
The big. I think I'd refer to it as W Day. Yes, for the wedding of the century. Is that what it is? I mean, forget Will and is it Will and Kate? Those two insignificant people who had that little nothing compared to the soiree that is prepared for us all. I can't wait for this. Craig, are you excited?
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, excited. I'm ready.
No, the answer to that question is supposed to be yes.
Absolutely.
And then you can say whatever else you want to say.
Yes, I am.
Okay, good.
I'm way excited.
All right.
But I'm ready, you know. It's a good feeling.
Tell us about what you're going to be doing on the honeymoon. You're going to Barcelona?
Well, we come back the day after the holiday. I'm here for a couple of days.
He's actually going to come, believe this or not, he's going to come back to work. They're getting married Sunday, okay? Listen very carefully. And then Monday's Labor Day, so we're all taking that off. That's okay. We'll still have great programming for you on Monday, Labor Day. Then on Tuesday, Craig's going to show up, lunch pail in hand, little time card ready
to
go.
Back to work.
Right back to
back
work.
To work, yeah.
1 day after getting married.
Well, 2 days, but that's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Work ethic. Work ethic. That's what you see across this window every day. Work ethic.
Okay. So then you're going on a cruise, right? Is that correct?
Right. We leave Thursday. And we're taking what they call a Western Mediterranean cruise.
Ooh, la la.
Spain, France, some Italy, and then back to Barcelona. And then I'll come back and be back, Monday the 17th or something like that?
Are you going to visit Venice?
No.
You're not
going to
see Venice.
Won't be anywhere near Venice.
Because I had, when you said that, you said West, and you said a little bit of Italy, I pictured you with the striped shirt and the straw hat on the back of a gondola singing O Solo Mio as you guided your bride in a gondola down the canals of Venice. That's what I pictured in my mind. It just came to me like a movie, right out of a movie it was.
Yeah, we're not going to be anywhere near Venice. But the thing that I'm looking forward to, we're going to go to Rome, and that's going to be really, really neat. I'd love to see some of the old ruins that are there. But I've been looking forward to climbing the, I believe it's 284 steps of the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
And, really? You can do that?
That's what it says on the description of this tour when you get off the boat. So,
you know, I've heard that's a myth. I heard the tower's actually completely plumb and the rest of Italy is crooked. That's what I've heard.
I guess
when you get there, you can send me a picture.
I guess
it's
always possible, yeah.
Could be.
I got to take the obligatory picture where you're holding it up, you know, where you're standing not too far away.
Yeah, the forced perspective Okay, good.
Yeah, that.
Good.
So maybe if we take that, I can email it. And
so a beautiful cruise. It's like your hotel stops at a different city every day, and you're just having a great time.
Yeah, absolutely. I was checking the boat out. I was telling your parents what boat I was.
My parents are here, by the way, behind Craig.
Yes,
Doesn't speak to well. He may speak to them every day.
I talk to your mother and father pretty often.
All right, so yeah. So what were you telling about the boat?
So anyway, I was checking it out on the internet, and go to this section of the boat, see what's there. Go to this section of the boat, and you see what's there. They have this huge workout room, and I tell Tori, I say, I'm going to, you know, we'll have to take you to the workout room so we can check it out, and you can see.
Because we all know that Craig is, Craig has to have his iron.
That's right.
He's got to have his iron every week. If you know what I'm talking
absolutely,
about.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely. So
he's an iron junkie.
So I tell Tori, we're going to go to the workout room, and she says, you're crazy. She says, you're going to work out while we're on our honeymoon?
I did when we went on our last cruise.
I said, you have to continue working out. You don't quit just because you're on vacation. I mean, that's when you got to hit it harder.
I went to an all-inclusive in Mexico. I ran 3 miles every morning in Mexican morning heat. And it's the most memorable part. It was great. It was the most memorable part of the thing.
You rewarded yourself with a chilada when you got back, right?
They didn't have, they would have made me a chilada, but no, they couldn't find chilada down there. It was, but they would make it for me if I asked them.
Yeah.
Just mix a little beer and a little bit of clamato. They had clamato all over the place down there.
Oh, well, yeah, no, but.
That's what they made the Bloody Marys with.
Yeah.
I even slipped one in on my wife that way. She said, bring me a Bloody Mary, but not with clamato. And I said, okay. And I brought her one with clamato. And she said, this is delicious.
And was this a cruise or was this you were
This was an all-inclusive one.
See,
yeah, yeah. So 3 miles every morning in the Mexican heat.
Wow.
That was me running down a steamy, exhaust-choked highway in whatever that place was in Mexico.
As I say, I can see you running in the Chariots of Fire music going at the same time. Yeah, but yeah, so this is my first cruise, my first time to Europe. So I've never been, and I'm really looking forward
to it.
You're
going to see the sights, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm very excited about being a married man.
You're going to come back and tell the rest of the family all about it? The family hasn't left Collinsville in five generations. The Fightingers have been never stepped outside of Collinsville. He's going to come back, and he's going to regale them with stories of the outside world.
We've been here so long, I'm surprised it's not called Fightingerville.
You know, Craig came in the other day, and he was talking about this cruise. And he said, you know, how big are, I don't know why you asked this, but you did. Remember, you came in, you said, how big are the bathrooms in these cabins?
I think that's a legitimate question.
And Jeff has been on many, many a cruise in his broadcasting career, basically, you know, we just said, you know, basically think porta potty. With maybe an extra couple 6 inches on one side.
I thought you guys said like, think like you're on the airplane, but it's like two of the airplane.
That's basically it. Yeah, you can barely stand up. You can barely sit down. It's not really much of a bathroom. But I mean, don't plan on going in there and like, you know, spreading out because you're not going to be able to spread out any place.
It's like a little room, you know.
Very little.
There's none
room.
Yes.
And the stuff that looks big online, you know, all the. I don't know, they use some sort of wide angle lens and lasers and then they make it look really big online. You get there and you know the ship looks really big online, like it looks like it's like 1,000 feet long. It's about 25 feet long. It's small. It's not big. It's those portholes that look like they might be big. No, they're about as big as a quarter.
You and four other people.
You can just look out with one eye. They're peepholes.
Yeah, you and four other people. That's it. That's all that's on the boat.
They let you steer the boat. Go up to the bridge. I suggested. Go up and ask him to steer the boat.
I don't want to spend the rest of my trip in the bridge.
Where's Jeff?
Captain Stubby.
Stubing?
Yeah. Stubing, is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. I want a picture of Craig and Captain Stubing.
Yeah, that's the question. You know, I remember that old show, Love Boat. Am I going to have to find Julie and tell Julie that we're there? I mean, is that how this works? I've never been on a cruise.
Believe me, Julie will find you, and she's going to be asking you for money is what she's going to be doing.
Honeymoon advice from a married man. Don't go looking for Julie.
Yeah, don't go looking for Julie.
Just saying.
Well, no, I'm just, when you walk on the boat, remember Julie was there with the thing and tell you where you were on the boat.
No, there's none of that. But believe me, if they need you, they'll find you. Especially when it comes time to settle the bills.
Well, yeah. One other thing. I was surprised at how much paperwork you have to do when you go on a cruise. We had to do this check-in procedure where, I mean...
You're leaving the country, Craig.
But I mean, they want pretty much everything but a blood sample. I mean, they, you know, like 7 or 8 pages on the internet of information. And I was just shocked at how much stuff they want to know about you.
Look, they want to make sure that... I was going to say if you fell overboard, but in your case, it might be when you fall overboard. They will be able to identify you, at least say what they lost.
But I put it in anyway because, well, you know, it's first time out of the country and we're going to have fun. So
Stay on the ship. That's my favorite part. Just look at the sea. Let the wind blow through your hair. Enjoy the food. That's what Craig liked the most. The thing he liked the absolute most about the idea of going on a cruise was I told him, you can order as many of everything as you want at dinner. You want 2 steaks? You order 2 steaks. They'll bring it to you. You're paying for it. We're excited for you, Craig. All right. We'll be right back. We will get to some email. Stay tuned. Well, my baby, she rolled me.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. On Demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click Listen On Demand.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, my people are destroyed by lack of knowledge. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
The hymn, God So Loved the World, sung by the Contrari. It's playing right now at Lutheran Public Radio Lutheran Public Radio is sacred music for the world. It's 24/7 and beginning this Sunday at 1 Central on Lutheran Public Radio, we are going to play a Bach cantata in its entirety, courtesy of Church Music Solutions, the producers of The Virtual Organist. This Sunday will feature Cantata 33. That's Allein zu dir, Herr, Jesu Christ, and you alone, Lord Jesus Christ. It's a Bach cantata uninterrupted every Sunday at 1 Central, 2 Eastern, noon Mountain, and 11 Sunday mornings Pacific at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Can I comment about Craig's honeymoon here? Since
yeah.
I predict that once Lord Feichninger returns, he will have set back U.S. diplomatic relations a decade. Here's Trig the tourist I see, red, white, and blue. the next day, France sucks shirt.
Yes, I can see that.
I don't eat French fries. Another day, Euro trash.
No, the first thing he's going to complain about is that the boat itself is registered in a foreign country. And that everybody who works on the boat does not appear to speak proper English. That's going to really, don't you think that's going to get him?
He's going to be in Rome yelling at the Italians for not speaking English.
and he'll
don't I mean, you know I that English is saying, the official language of the world?
He's going to be saying, I'm not in Collinsville anymore. What he's going to be saying, look, back in Collinsville, we did it this way. And then when they bring him the food for the dinner, you know, the fancy dinners, he's going to say, well, this isn't how Ma Feidinger makes it. And he'll send it back. He's a little persnickety about those kind of things. So
the first time somebody tells him no in one of these foreign countries, he will shout, American exceptionalism. American exceptionalism.
Yeah. Reminding them that they would all be goose-stepping and speaking German if it weren't for him. Then yeah. I can picture it too, yeah. I can picture it.
So you got your homily prepared for Lord Feichninger's?
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about it, actually.
All right.
You want a little preview?
Yes.
No, I'm going to take a poll while I'm there. Mm-hmm. How many people know about the ketchup bottle? That's what I'm going to ask.
the preview of the homily is, Craig, whatever your instinct, your natural inclination tells you to do, whatever that little voice inside you tells you to do for the next 40 years, do the opposite and all will be well. That's just a little preview of the homily.
Is that from Proverbs, or what is that from?
That's from the Book of Wilkins.
The
is what
Book
it
of
is.
Wilkins. Yeah. Is that in the Apocrypha? I know Concordia Publishing House.
Mine.
Our Book of the Month next month is the Apocrypha by Concordia Publishing House. Is that in there somewhere?
You might find it in there. I don't know.
The Book of Wilkins, or that saying?
That saying.
Oh, okay. So you cribbed it from the
whatever
Apocrypha.
Whatever you think you should say, whatever answer you want to give, whatever you think you ought to do in any given situation, just either ignore that impulse or do the opposite. And generally speaking, not without fail, but generally speaking, I think in Craig's case, it will turn out to be good.
I did hear that Megyn Kelly and Brett Baer from Fox News were going to be there on Sunday. That Laura O'Donnell and Brian Williams, NBC, they wanted to do a live shot from there, but Craig turned them down.
He nixed it.
It's MSNBC.
Yeah,
right. You know?
Well, the inside joke there is that Tori works for Fox Midwest. What I want to know, any of the Cardinals going to be there? Huh? No? Okay. Craig's just putting his hands up. Will there be tickets? Will there be late season tickets involved in any of this?
Well, I don't know about
For the clergyman who performs the ceremony.
I don't know about late season tickets, but you may be able to get either a hot dog or a pretzel outside of the church.
All right. Do we have any email?
Yeah, let's get to some
email.
Yeah,
that's probably a good idea.
We are 21 past the hour, and let's get to some email. This comes from Doug. He said, I've listened to your movie reviews several times, and they are lacking a critical component. Hollywood is and has been a source of cultural rot and engages in overt and covert attacks on Christianity. If a 30-second commercial induces us to buy expensive cars, I wonder what are the effects of a 2-hour movie on us. I'd like to hear Pastor Fist, he's the guy who comes on and reviews our movies, warn moviegoers of the danger of becoming sucked into the anti-Christian pop culture under the guise of Christian liberty. He sort of does this, but then he sends them back to the theater again and doesn't say that most movies are destructive to morals. Here are my main reasons for avoiding the movies. I have been to 3 movies in the last 4 years. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Since movies are entertainment, do I really need to see a film which violates this commandment several times? This commandment knocks out perhaps 50 to 75% of movies. You shall not commit adultery. Even movies with a generally good theme slip in nudity or at least immodesty. Now we only have about 10% of movies left to watch after considering these 2 commandments. I'm being gracious. 10% is probably a stretch. If I was to apply the other 8 commandments, would we have 1% left to watch? Maybe. Remember, these movies are entertainment and not a necessity. And in many of the movie previews that are very enticing and often for very immoral movies, you have another reason not to spend time at a theater. We wonder why there is so much apostasy in the church. We feed so much on the world's movies, music, and other distractions that many of us become shipwrecked. When I talk to people about our liberty to attend a theater, I also add the qualification that 90% or more of what is shown is corrosive to the soul and sinful. Reverend Fisk, please consider doing the same. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Doug.
I think I understand the sentiment of the emailer, but I mean, I do have to have a little bit of response here. Number one, yeah, we could always offer some more clear warning about specifics within certain films when we're reviewing them. That's advice that's always well taken. But if you're trying to stay away from any exposure to sex, violence, or rock and roll, or cussing, or anything like that, you're going to have to stay away from the Bible, too. I mean, the Bible is full of people doing dastardly and disgusting things. And it speaks of it in very harsh terms. And often, sometimes it doesn't even condemn it. Sometimes it just describes it. Now, you will say, well, the Bible isn't there for entertainment. And you're quite right. It is not there for entertainment. But it does present. And movies can do this as well. The discerning mind can, I think, sort through this. Movies, to the extent that they depict the real fallen condition, that can also be instructive. Doesn't necessarily have to be offensive. It can be instructive in the same way that the Bible paints every one of its characters in a thoroughly realistic and sinful light. Now, I will say this about the world's movies and music. You can be corrupted in a much more subtle and I think even deeper way by what often passes for the church's entertainment and music, because what it contains under the guise and the banner of Christianity, under the guise of being morally acceptable, is often false teaching. So there are dangers on both sides, is what I'm saying, and your advice is good. We could always use with a little more warning about what we might find there. I would advise you to listen to, it was yesterday's Pastor's Roundtable, Jeff, that we talked about what is not what goes into a man that defiles him. Now, not advocating any kind of antinomianism. I'm saying that is, you know, a disregard for God's law. But I am saying that it is not what, Jesus is quite clear, it is not what comes in from the outside that defiles a man, but what comes out from the inside that defiles him. You could stay away from the theater. And if your conscience dictates that, then by all means, stay away from the theater. But you're not going to stop the little Hollywood that dwells within. Little Hollywood that is the darkness of our own sinful hearts. You simply won't. Now, what do you do? I mean, I asked this question yesterday of one of our guests. You know, we're supposed to flee from immorality. We're supposed to flee from these sins. And Scripture is quite clear that we are. But how do you flee from something that's inside you? The answer to that question is not to say, well, I'm going to shut my ears to it. You'd have to shut your ears to the whole world, wouldn't you? To everyone around you. I mean, everywhere you go, you bump into sinners who do things that are contrary to, do say and think things that are contrary to God's law. And then when you get home, you're all by yourself. You're stuck with the sinner that you are, who thinks and says and does things contrary to God's commands. Well, the answer there is not necessarily to stay away from it. Jesus says that we are in the world, but not of the world. The answer to that, how do you flee from something within? You die to self. It's repentance for our own sins. And then we can turn our attention to the sins of other people and to Hollywood.
Hi, it's Matt from Washington, just calling to make a brief comment on the Henry Cloud message. I think that was pretty typical of Willow Creek to have those types of messages, not sermons, because that's offensive. There wasn't anything about how he realizes sin and the need for a savior, and I think you kind of pretty much said that anyway, Todd, so that was great. I mean, it was all just, let's find out the purpose of what the individual wants. God is there to make me happy. I think, unfortunately, Jesus is more of a role model to these people as they strip mine the Bible for relevant life tips. And, you know, I'm sure you could explain all of this to them, but they wouldn't get it. It's all about what you have to do, and there wasn't anything about what Christ has done and how you can trust and rest in that. And I think that's probably a reason why Willow Creek is one of the most famous and popular American churches. It's subjectivism, uber alles.
Interesting take on that. I like, what was the phrase he used there, Jeff? Strip mining the Bible for nice tips. Strip mining. That's a very good way of describing what happens, because the Bible's open and the passages are read, but they are, maybe another term would be cherry picking, but strip mining the Bible for little tips on how to be nice. It was remarkable to me that the only time that Jesus was even mentioned, and I'm going to call it a sermon, I'm old fashioned. You know, you put he isn't a preacher, he's a clinical psychologist, and he writes books, but that qualifies you to preach at Willow Creek. Almost anything qualifies you to preach at Willow Creek, as long as it's some success story, because that's really what they're about. They're about success. So he gets up, he preaches his sermon, and, you know, it's hard to fault a clinical psychologist for not knowing how to preach a decent sermon, but you can fault Willow Creek and its pastoral staff for letting it happen. So he mentions Jesus three times in the course of a 30-minute, and every single time he mentions it, it's as some exclamation coming out of the mouth of what he called crazy Christians. You're right. It's a shame. We'll be right back.
Communication's never been as easy as today, and it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15, Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, epiphanydoor.org, 616-681-0791.
The essence of God's Word. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is the next best thing to an on-site organist. Send us your musical choices, including liturgy and hymns. We'll assemble your service and send it to an iPad that controls your church's organ on Sunday. The result is genuine organ leadership on your instrument with your selections when you need it. See our videos on YouTube or visit our website at churchmusicsolutions.com.
We have a special premium for first-time donors to Issues Etc. It's the new Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio mousepad. We'll send it to you for your first-time donation to Issues Etc. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also make your first-time gift by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to LPR Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
But it's not as though Monica is this dispenser of follow Monica's three easy steps and then everything in your life will be hunky-dory as well.
So if we've got a sitting president who's basically on board with what many folks have rightly called infanticide, I think maybe we need to be talking more about that and a little less about a somewhat obscure congressman making a blunder in a taped interview with a local television station.
How naive can this guy be to tell 46% of Americans, don't raise your children to believe as you do about God and about creation?
I deeply repent, and I'm heartily sorry. Bah! I repent in a half-assed way at best.
In just about an hour, we're going to play Issues Etc., a soundbite of the week, four soundbites for you to listen to and then vote for. Your chance to win the LPR bundle package. That's an I Have Issues t-shirt, an Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, and bumper sticker. We'll go to the listener with the best vote. Four Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. You can listen in advance, issuesetc.org. They're right there on the homepage. You can also vote in advance or wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. About 1 hour from now, Issues Etc. soundbite of the week.
John also wants to opine on the cloud sermon from Willow Creek Community Church. He said, I just finished listening to this sermon. I was a little baffled that this is considered a sermon in any way, but that was obviously one of the points of reviewing it. One thing really stuck out to me. When Dr. Cloud says that our formulas stop working or fail, I found myself saying out loud, that's when you become a Lutheran. The hollowness of non-denominational evangelicalism really hit me here. When the formulas you have fail, you eventually realize that those formulas are wrong or at least incomplete. It took me decades, but I eventually found the correct calculus in Christ-centered, cross-focused Lutheranism. I pray that Dr. Cloud and his hearers eventually find what I was blessed to find. You know, it's not difficult, it's not complex, and it's not hard to find. Just listen when Paul says, for I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 2. Thanks for another week of programming that reminded me over and over of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, writes John.
John, thank you very much. Thanks for listening, and we're happy to do it. I found that most telling in Dr. Cloud's sermon as well, because he came to that point of crisis where you would have said, you know, maybe this isn't realistic Christianity. Maybe this isn't the real Christian message. Because what he was describing was, well, you become a Christian, and then you learn all the rules. You learn the difference between right and wrong and how to live and prayer and all these disciplines. It's interesting that he would characterize becoming a Christian by saying you learn all the rules. And then you learn that if you obey, God blesses you. I mean, that's how he said it. That blessing goes with obedience. That was one of the principles he said you learn as a Christian. But then you learn, you experience this crisis where you obey, but you don't get blessed. And you realize that there's gray areas in the rules. That was his conclusion. There are gray areas in the rules. Look, if your formula doesn't fit life, then chances are your formula is wrong. And if your formula for Christianity is, here are some rules, obey them and God will bless you, that's not Christianity. And it's no wonder that formula falls apart in the face of real life, because that's not how God works. If our blessing depends upon our obedience or following the rules, I don't care how often it proves true, it's simply not what Scripture says. Our blessing does not flow from our obedience. Our blessing flows from Christ's obedience. Does that mean obedience has no part in the Christian life? Absolutely not. It has a great part in the Christian life. But our obedience flows from Christ's obedience. And our obedience is only regarded by God as anything close to obedient because Christ's perfect righteousness covers us. And I think you've probably walked the path that many Christians have, having been given the gospel, and then from that point on, hearing about the forgiveness of sins, given nothing but rules to follow, principles to live by, formulas to try and sort out and find the gray areas in. And I can tell you, with the exception of the gospel there, with the exception of that first message you might have heard at the very beginning, that Christ's righteousness, that Christ's blood really is sufficient to save you, the rest of that stuff isn't Christianity. It's just soft core suburban moralism. That's all it is. And it's no wonder that people become so easily and quickly discouraged with it. It's no wonder that they look back on it and say, that was completely hollow. And our listener's quite right. That's the point where you would say, well, then I became a Lutheran because I threw away the rule book that I thought Christianity was, and I opened Scripture and found therein Christ and Him crucified for me, for all sinners, and especially for Christians.
This was just sent to us via the Issues Etc. iPhone app from Sarah. She says, strip mining the Bible conveys the point better than cherry picking. Cherry pickers take only what they want and leave the undesirable or difficult behind. Strip miners ruin the land and leave nothing behind for those who come after.
That's interesting. Yeah, I like that. I wish we could work that into it. We can't do it, but I wish we could work that into one of our mini liners, Jeff. But how would you put, because we're not trying to strip mine. The only thing we could say is we're not strip mining the Bible for good advice or something like that. That's a little awkward and a little too long. We'll let our listeners work on that one. They come up with the best liners for us anyway.
Hey, this just came from our good friend M-Pop via the Android app. He says, ask Todd where we can get a copy of the Book of Wilkin.
It's written on your hearts, Michael. No. It is a book that is thankfully not in print and never will be, because I can guarantee you there's not much worth reading there. I occasionally dip into it to give Craig advice, but that's about it. The Book of Wilkin, thankfully, will never be published, because it would be the sound of an idiot. That's what it would be. It's bad enough I've got a radio show, much less a book. I mean, at least I can, when I say it, it's gone. It's only on tape, but...
It's just sent from Carol. She says, you three world travelers, it's a ship, not a boat.
I know. I knew that was going to happen. I thought maybe one of the Navy people were going to call us on that. It's a ship, not a boat. I've never known the difference. But what they told me was, boats go inside ships. If you can put a boat on something, it's a ship. That was how it was explained to me once. It's probably just another chapter, footnote in the Book of Wilkin. Just more nonsense. More... You know, just sound and fury.
So some words of wisdom for Lord Feichninger. When he goes up into Captain Steubing's area, he doesn't say, can I grab the wheel and drive the boat, please?
Can I steer the boat?
Can I steer the boat? Please, yeah. Steer the ship. Right?
Right. When you put in your official request to navigate, make sure you ask to steer the ship. Otherwise, they won't let you do it. Okay.
You know how most likely Captain Steubing would reply if he said, if I could steer the boat? He said, are you from Collinsville?
And the next thing would be, yes. Do you know about the ketchup bottle?
Ketchup bottle. Yeah. You've got the Leaning Tower of Pisa. We've got the ketchup bottle. For folks that aren't aware, the ketchup bottle is really a big thing. It is. It's pretty neat. I mean, it's a landmark of Collinsville,
it
USA.
Is. The quintessential landmark of Collinsville. It tells you everything you need to know about what Collinsville is, what kind of a place it is. If they were going to erect a monument to a town to say to the world, this is what this town is like, this is what this town is about, and it would be Collinsville, it would be this ketchup bottle.
Hey, a friend of mine who's coming in for the wedding. I met him for lunch today. He tells me, this is what he says. He says, I heard Collinsville on a Geico commercial in Omaha.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So, look, if we're in a Geico commercial, you better believe where you have arrived.
It also was in a, it was in a commercial this last year. The one where the girl is running across the country to meet her boyfriend, he's trying to run to meet her, and he ends up in the hospital, and she makes it to meet him. You didn't see this commercial.
No.
Oh, it was a great,
no, I think I have.
Commercial. It was probably a wireless commercial or something. And at one point, for a very brief time there, right after she runs across the skyline of St. Louis, they show her running downtown Collinsville.
I was going to ask you something, too. As I said, you know, what you said earlier about the baseball player showing up to the wedding?
Mm-hmm.
Why does this happen to me? Why do I think of an answer to your question 20 minutes after the question? Here's the answer, though. You know what? They might as well come to the wedding because they're not showing up on the baseball field. So there you go.
That's true. Don't bring that up. That's a sore subject with me. I'm beginning to lose heart. I told Craig yesterday I'm eternally hopeful, but after last night, I'm beginning to lose heart.
They got beat
by the Nationals.
The Nationals are pretty good.
The Nationals are very good.
How many did they lose to the Pirates in this last series? Was it 2 out of 3 or
It was two out of three.
Two out of three.
And the two, they were two good, solid losses. I mean, definitive, nasty losses. So, plus they were really mean to Yadier Molina. Really, well, they didn't mean to, but they knocked him down. But he's tough. He can take it.
I've been too busy to watch Cardinals baseball.
I know.
So, I know. Sorry.
Jeff is always doing something out there official with some committee. Oh, yeah. It's some board or committee.
Not the Republican National Committee, I assure you.
It's always something official Jeff's got going. I go home. I mow my grass. I watch a little baseball. I make sure that the dog's out and the cats are in and everything's in its proper place. And Jeff is sitting there in some sort of high-powered, making decisions that actually make a difference. All I got to decide is, you know, which cat to feed. That's all I got to decide.
I'm just steering the boat.
No, you're...
Craig
gave
me that line. That was pretty good.
Steering the ship. Steering the ship.
Oh.
Well, that's a good question. Right. Is issues, et cetera, if it were a seagoing vessel, would it be a boat or would it be a ship?
The Titanic.
This Friday, I think you're right. All right, we'll be right back. I believe it came from you.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Faithful confession trumps company loyalty. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Pilgrim Lutheran, Santa Monica, California. Emmanuel Lutheran, Terre Haute, Indiana. Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Trinity Lutheran and Emmanuel Lutheran, Holloway, Minnesota. St. John Lutheran, Schaumburg, Illinois. Our Savior Lutheran, Pipestone, Minnesota. Real Lutheran Fellowship, Rochester, Minnesota. Living Word Lutheran Church, The Woodlands, Texas. St. James Lutheran, Logansport, Indiana. St. John's Lutheran, State Center, Iowa, and Trinity Lutheran, West Chicago, Illinois. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Operator, help me please. Get through to my baby.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. 10 more minutes in this first hour of Issues Etc. In just a few minutes, we're going to pick Issues Etc. blog of the week, and then conversation on Joshua, the Old Testament successor to Moses. Dr. Adolf Harstad will be our guest, and then we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week.
During the break, I'm listening to a conversation between your mom and dad, Mr. and Mrs. Wilkin, and Lord Feichtinger. How many times has your mom and dad been here?
Oh, many. Countless.
Can you believe they've never seen the infamous
they haven't seen the ketchup
elevated,
bottle.
Super-sized ketchup bottle here in Collinsville?
Well, so if
the
I were
eighth
gonna,
great wonder of the world.
If I were going to take them out of town, I just go down the street, turn right, and then head down 159, and then I'm going to pass the ketchup bottle. I'm going to go straight past the ketchup bottle. All right, well, there you go. Just take a few more minutes to get home. I can do it.
It'll be a moment that the Wilkins will cherish forever, I assure you. Hey, Sumner sent us this email. He says it's the Gateway Grizzlies' last homestand. That's an amateur baseball team. I have tickets if you're interested. They'll get you in anytime this weekend. And Sunday is when they TP the ballpark. So he's got tickets for the Grizzlies if you want to see some real baseball.
Well, look,
since the Cardinals are
I'd love to
so
take
poorly.
Him up on it, but I think the three of us are busy this weekend because Sunday Craig's getting married. So unless Craig wants to change the venue, I'd be happy to marry you guys in the Grizzly ballpark.
I don't think Lord Feichninger has a say in that matter.
I don't think he does either. So that would have been a good place to get married. You know, people do get married down on the field at Busch Stadium. They do. Did you consider that? Did you think about that? Did you want to do that? No? Still time to change your mind.
Like Jeff said, as far as, you know, where I wanted to go with this whole thing, yeah, that really...
I know you probably wanted to go... let me think. Where would Craig have wanted to get married? I know.
A car race.
Yes.
Le Mans.
He would have wanted to go to Le Mans.
Well, okay, maybe
down on the track, he would have wanted to be in one of the pits at NASCAR is what he would have really wanted to do. So,
okay, maybe a race would have been my first choice. But my second choice would have been right at the altar at St. John Lutheran in Maryville.
Okay.
That's my home church. Born and raised, baptized there. That would have been my second choice. So, but... like Jeff said, doesn't matter.
You're learning. Our little boy is growing up, Jeff. He's learning. 6 months ago, he wouldn't have said, doesn't matter.
Six months ago. I had no hope. I thought it was hopeless. You know, 40 years of single life, it can wear on you.
You can. It wears on us, that's for sure.
We love him. This comes from Cliff in Elgin, Illinois. He says, hello, Issues, etc., and Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. Wow. The truth rocks. Necessary food for starving men. Thank you, White Horse Inn and Issues, etc., and Pastor Jonathan Fisk. I almost get it, says Cliff in Elgin, Illinois.
He's referencing a conversation we had with Dr. Rod Rosenblatt. When was this? It was a couple days ago, Wednesday.
Tuesday,
we talked with him. We spent an hour talking about Luther's rediscovery of the gospel. Got a lot of good feedback from our listeners on that one. Rod is one of our listeners' favorite guests, and he has a way of saying things, as you'll see in the Issues Etc., one of the contenders for Issues Etc. soundbite of the week a little later in the program, because he's one of the contenders there. Now, he mentioned White Horse, and he also mentioned Pastor Jonathan Fisk, who does a great video blog called Worldview Everlasting. And well, thank you very much. It's nice to be mentioned in that company.
Hi, my name is Pat from Michigan. With Dr. Zill's conversation going on, I just wanted to comment that it was very important for my husband and I to go visit the college churches, and just even to show our sons that we were interested in them continuing their religious training and worship, and we met some very nice people and some of their friends that went. Our children did not always go to church, but I felt that we felt that it was very important that we show them that it was important and that they should continue. Thank you for your program. I'm enjoying it.
And thank you very much. She's talking about a conversation we had with Pastor Marcus Zill, and we were talking about the occasion of kids going off to college and university and what pastoral care for a college student actually looks like. The best piece of advice that Marcus gave in the course of that conversation, and I think he gave it several times, was from the parent's perspective, get a hold of that campus pastor. Get a hold of him and talk to him. Let him know that your kid's coming, because he's not omniscient. He doesn't necessarily know that your kid is coming. Let him know that your kid is coming, where they are, how he can contact them, because he's more than happy to track down your son or your daughter and invite him to come to a good, solid Lutheran church. The other best thing that I think was said in the course of that conversation is that campus ministry is no different than any other kind of ministry. There's only one kind of ministry in this world. In spite of what all of the pinheads at various levels of church officery will tell you, there's one kind of ministry in this world. It looks like the preaching of the gospel and the administration of the sacraments. Is there all sorts of stuff that Christians can do? Acts of mercy, outreach, if you will. that may go alongside that and flow from it? Of course there is. But if you're going to talk campus ministry, you better be talking about an altar and a pulpit and a font. Because otherwise you're just talking about, I don't know, youth group for college students. But it's not the church, and therefore it's not ministry. We keep these things centered. You say, does it have to have a local congregation? You know what? Yeah, it does. If you're going to call it the church that Christ planted, we are not at liberty to reshape, to reinvent, to rework or retool what Christ left to us in the church. He left us these things, the preaching of his word and the sacraments that he himself instituted. And he has given the church the privilege and the responsibility of remaining with those things. That's why the very best kind of campus ministry you will find for your kids when they go away to college or university is one that looks like a church. It's got a altar and a pulpit and a font and a pastor there, not just some guy who is hired to go out and order pizza and organize volleyball games, but a guy who is there to preach and administer the sacraments. Why would you rob your college student, your university student, of the church just because they went off to college? I don't know why you would. Time has come for us to announce the pick for Issues Etc. blog of the week. We're reading your blogs. I actually have a list of, well, more than 100 blogs that I think I peruse in the course of a week, and we do it because our listeners do offer so much by way of content and good ideas to the content of Issues Etc. And we do it also because a way of saying thanks to our listeners. If you want us to be reading your blog and consider it for Issues Etc. blog of the week, you need to go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and there at the bottom of the page you'll find the Issues Etc. widget. Once you have it there at your blog, then just let us know where your blog is. Send us a link, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll start reading it and we'll start considering your blog for Issues Etc. blog pick.
My pick this week is called Cancer's Reflection. It's a blog post titled Repetition in Church is a Good Thing. He writes, I am the father of two beautiful girls, a three-year-old and a six-month-old. They are in the divine service every Sunday. As you might expect, my daughters cannot read, and so they learn by listening and doing. My three-year-old loves to participate in the service, especially Amen and Alleluia. She knows much of the liturgy and several hymns. You may ask, how did she learn them? She cannot read. My answer, she learned them by repetition. It's popular in the world of Christian thought today to speak of repetition as a bad thing. We are told that repetition is boring, uncreative, and lazy. In response, I would say that repetition is vital to learning, especially for those who cannot read. By repeating the same words every Sunday, we repeat the words passed down to us by our fathers in the faith as we read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the faith once for all delivered to the saints. I have been a father for a little more than 3 years, and I am certainly no master educator, but my children are learning the faith. They hear the word preached, read, and sung on Sunday morning, and they hear the word at home as we have family devotions and prayers. It is not rocket science to teach the faith, and there is no trick to it. Children soak up everything around them, so it seems to me that the most important step to take is to have the children in the divine service. Then you can say the Lord's Prayer at home and maybe even sing a hymn stanza. This also speaks to the importance of consistency in the divine service itself. Using the same setting of the liturgy for several months in a row helps the children know what is coming. My children, and I am certain they are not alone, need a familiar structure which the liturgy provides. This familiarity and repetition allows them to learn the parts of the liturgy and participate in the service. It is absolutely wonderful for me to hear my young daughter singing the parts of the liturgy with the rest of the congregation. So do not be afraid of repetition in the liturgy, but embrace it as the wonderful tool for learning that it is. After all, it's not just the children who need to be taught and retaught about Christ's love for them, but the whole congregation. My pick for Issues Etc. blog of the week, Cantor's Reflections.
Mine comes from a blog called Lutheran Quotations. I often go to this one because it's just a treasure house of great Lutheran ideas. This one is from John Kleinig. It's a quote from his great book, Grace Upon Grace. At baptism, we were marked with the cross to indicate that we belong to Christ. And we have his brand on us. Through his death, he has redeemed us from death and given us eternal life with him in the presence of the Father. Together with him, we pass through death to life. Our whole life, then, is marked by the cross and lived under the cross. Our journey from earth to heaven, we travel with Jesus on the way of the cross. The self-sacrificial death of Christ shapes our spiritual life and gives our lives their paradoxical character. So Christ's sacrifice reverses and revises all common notions of spiritual progress. There is progress in the spiritual life, but it is a kind of reverse or paradoxical progress, our baptismal progress out of our old selves and into Christ. That's a quote from John Kleinig from the blog Lutheran Quotations and his book called Grace Upon Grace. It's a great book from Concordia Publishing House. Pick it up. Read it. You can never get too much of good old John Kleinig. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We're going to spend some time with Dr. Adolf Harstad of Bethany Lutheran Seminary in Mankato, Minnesota. He has written the Concordia Commentary on the Book of Joshua, and of course the church will be remembering tomorrow this Old Testament saint and successor to Moses, Joshua. That's what we'll do in hour two of Issues Etc. Then we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. When we come back, hour two of Issues Etc. live this Friday, August the 31st.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt.
France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong.
Austria.
Finland.
Malaysia.
Singapore.
Bulgaria.
Korea.
Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.